Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 19th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the Fed cuts rates but falls short of expectations on future policy.
I'm disappointed by what the Fed has come out with here.
I think the Fed is not as accommodative as I'd like it to be.
It's been characterized as an insurance cut. I think this was the second payment on an insurance policy.
Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau is under fire following a photo showing him in brown face. Plus, Secretary of State Pompeo calls an attack on a Saudi oil facility an act of war. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees lost to the Angels. The Mets rallied to win at Colorado, and Eli Manning reacted to being demoted as starting quarterback for the Giants.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 59, NASDAQ futures down 22. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%, CAC in Paris up 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.77%, yield on the 2-year 1.75%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 24 cents at $58.35 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $11.20 at $15.04.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1059 against the dollar, and the yen 108.01. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the Federal Reserve cutting rates as expected, and Chairman Jerome Powell saying moderate policy moves should be enough to sustain the U.S. expansion. At the same time, though, Powell made it clear the central bank doesn't plan deep rate cuts.
If the economy does turn down, then a more extensive sequence of rate cuts could be appropriate. We don't see that. It's not what we expect, but we would certainly follow that path if it became appropriate.
Chairman Powell also faced questions about this week's spike in overnight money market rates, saying the Fed will keep injecting cash into the system to get markets back on track.
We don't see this as having any implications for the broader economy or for the economic outlook, nor for our ability to control rates. The strains in the money markets reflect forces that we saw coming, and they just had a bigger effect than I think most folks anticipated.
The New York Fed plans another cash injection this morning, offering up $75 billion in an overnight repurchase agreement operation.
Well, the Fed's rate cut was expected. Its forecasts show officials split over the path of policy this year. Five didn't want to move. Five see another quarter point cut on the way. And seven see 50 basis points of easing needed by year end. It's a more hawkish forecast than expected by Guggenheim Chief Investment Officer Scott Minard.
I'm disappointed by what the Fed has come out with here because the market is priced for substantially more action. And so the fact that the Fed is sort of disappointing based on market expectation, I'm surprised that we're not seeing more of a response to this.
The initial response saw the S&P 500 fall about 20 points, though it soon rebounded to finish the day little unchanged. Former Minneapolis Fed President Narayana Kocherlakota also expected a more dovish forecast from the central bank.
I think the Fed is not as accommodative as I'd like it to be, simply because my inflation forecast is running below 2% over the next 3 years. So I think there's more room for accommodation.
But former Atlanta Fed President Dennis Lockhart sees this move as consistent with Chairman Powell's call for a mid-cycle adjustment.
It's been characterized as risk management, as an insurance cut. I think this was the second payment on an insurance policy.
President Trump also weighed in on the Fed decision, saying, quote, Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve fail again. No guts, no sense, no vision.
And we also had a policy decision from the Bank of Japan overnight. The BOJ kept rates on hold, opting instead to review its assessment of prices and the economy at its next meeting in October. We get more from Bloomberg Economics and Policy Editor Kathleen Hayes.
Now the big question will be, is the Bank of Japan setting us up for some kind of move, a move towards negative rates? Many people expect that. And I think the big question is, yes, is there some fundamental acknowledgement that if the global economy keeps weakening, if all these pressures continue to weigh on the global economy and Japan, that maybe they do have to do something more?
Governor Haruhiko Kuroda says the BOJ has become more likely to add stimulus than it was at its last meeting, but there's no need for major changes for now. The yen strengthened following this, the decision. It's currently trading at 107.96.
The Swiss National Bank also kept interest rates on hold, leaving its deposit rate at minus 0.75%. The central bank's statement was also a little changed, though it did highlight the fragile state of markets and repeated a pledge to intervene if needed.
Norway's central bank broke away from the pack, delivering its fourth interest rate hike in a year. Norges Bank raised its benchmark rate to 1.5%, the highest level in nearly 5 years. Most forecasters had not predicted the move.
Up next, we get a decision from the Bank of England, where policymakers look likely to sit out the current wave of global easing. Bloomberg's Lucy Meakin brings us more from London.
The BOE's nine policymakers will vote to keep interest rates unchanged at 0.75%, according to all 63 economists in a Bloomberg survey. While Brexit uncertainty in the UK remains heightened, the central bank still has to take the government's policy of leaving with a deal as a given. That means its assumptions exclude the risk of a no-deal exit next month. In London, Lucy Meakin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks. Central banks are the theme today. Decisions from the Fed and BOJ were front and center in Asia, where stocks finished the session on uneven footing. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with a recap. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Hong Kong stocks were the biggest drag as the Hong Kong Monetary Authority cut its benchmark interest rate in line with the Fed. China's yuan dropped as traders took stock of the odds for the PBOC to lower borrowing costs. In Tokyo, the yen climbed the most in a month and Japanese stocks paired earlier gains. The Nikkei 225 added 0.4% to 22,044 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Julia, thank you. On the economic front, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development is cutting its forecast for global growth. It says the global economy will grow this year at the slowest pace since the financial crisis, cutting the forecast it made just 4 months ago. The OECD expects global growth of 2.9%. That's down from its last estimate of 3.2%.
In the U.S., shares of Microsoft are up 1% in early trading. The company announced a $40 billion buyback program and boosted its dividend by 5 cents.
And shares of U.S. Steel down 10% in the pre-market. The company expects to report a wider loss than predicted by analysts, making it the third American steelmaker in 3 days to warn on their outlook. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Now let's get the latest world and national news from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Justin Trudeau's re-election bid was dealt a serious blow after the Canadian Prime Minister was forced to apologize for wearing brown face makeup at an Arabian Nights theme party in 2001. Trudeau says it was racist and a dumb thing to do.
I shouldn't have done that. I should have known better, but I didn't. And I'm really sorry.
The photo of Trudeau, first published by Time magazine, appeared in the yearbook of West Point Grey Academy, the private school in Vancouver where the leader once taught. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that America backs Saudi Arabia's right to defend itself after a weekend attack targeted the heart of its oil industry, calling it an act of war. Pompeo says the U.S. blames Iran for Saturday's attack.
The equipment used is unknown to me in the Houthi arsenal. So we watched clearly and have a deep understanding of what the Iranians have transferred to the Houthis.
Pompeo's comments came as he was in Saudi Arabia after meeting with the kingdom's crown prince Mohammed bin Salman. Meanwhile, President Trump says he wants tougher sanctions on Iran. President Trump concluded a three-day Western trip by visiting a section of border wall near San Diego that's being replaced. Trump hailed the new design as featuring what he called a world-class security system that will be virtually impenetrable.
For many years, people have wanted the proper wall, and we have a wall that the likes of which very few places have ever seen.
The president also praised the Mexican government, which he said has sent tens of thousands of troops to its northern and southern borders to help slow the flow of migrants headed toward the U.S. The president's visit to California comes as he said he will revoke the state's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from autos. The American Airlines mechanic charged with tampering with a plane's navigation system in mid-July has been denied bail in Miami. Prosecutors say he had an ISIS propaganda video on his phone. Despite heavy rainfall from Tropical Depression Imelda, officials in southeast Texas say so far there are no reports of flooded homes or people stranded. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Yankee fans have been waiting 7 years for a division title. We'll have to wait one more night. At the stadium, the Yanks beaten by the Angels 3-2, and then they stuck around with the champagne still ready to be popped open if Tampa Bay were to lose to the Dodgers in L.A. That game started early at 8 o'clock, but it went a while. The Rays rallied to tie the game in the ninth inning. They end up winning in 11, so the Yankee magic number is still 1. Another chance tonight. The bubbly ready to go. Mets rallied in Denver, a 4-run ninth inning to beat the Rockies 7-4. Pete Alonso homered again, his 49th, leads the majors, needs 3 more to catch Aaron Judge for most ever by a rookie. The Cubs and Brewers are tied for that last playoff spot. They both lost. The Mets are 3 games behind. They've got to overtake both teams, and there are only 11 games left. As expected, Eli Manning took the high road the day after he lost the job he's held for 16 seasons. No longer the Giants' starting quarterback, he's now the backup to Daniel Jones.
No other option but just to handle it and do my job, support my teammates, support the Giants, and do what I can do to try to help go into football games. And right now, that's getting Daniel and helping him and supporting him.
Jones and the Giants play Sunday at Tampa Bay. Jets a massive underdog at New England. Linebacker C.J. Mosley still not practicing the game tonight. Tennessee and Jacksonville. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. In other sports news, Bloomberg News has learned the Los Angeles Dodgers have completed the sale of a minority stake in the team. Now, the size of that stake and its buyer haven't been disclosed, but Forbes says the Dodgers are worth $3.3 billion compared with $4.6 billion for the New York Yankees. S&P futures down by almost 6 points at the moment. Dow futures are down 55, loss of 22 points for NASDAQ futures. The 10-year is up 3/32, the yield 1.78%, 2-year treasury yield 1.75%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures lower while European shares advance with the euro as the dust settles from the Federal Reserve rate cut and investors' focus turn to a slew of other central bank decisions. The yen jumping after a Bank of Japan policy decision. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 5 points. Dow futures down 46. NASDAQ futures down 21. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year treasury up 5/32, yield 1.77%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.75%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 40 cents at $58.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $10.60 at $15.05.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1062 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2491. And the yen at 107.98. Today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. Then at 10, existing home sales and leading economic indicators. And Darden Restaurants among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was in the Middle East meeting with leaders to discuss last weekend's attack on Saudi oil installations. He met with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and called the strike on key oil facilities an act of war. The U.S. blames Iran for the attack. There are calls for Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to step down following the publication of a yearbook photo showing him in brown face makeup dressed as Aladdin at a costume party in 2001. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Angels. The Pinstripes' magic number to make the playoffs remains at 1. The Mets won and keep their playoff hopes alive. The A's pulled out a 1-0 win over the Royals to stay 2 games ahead of the Rays for an AL wildcard spot. The Giants beat the Red Sox 11-3. The Nationals and Orioles lost. Week 3 of the NFL begins tonight with the Titans at the Jaguars.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Wells Fargo senior economist Mark Vintner joins us this morning after the Federal Reserve rate decision. Good morning, Mark. I'd be curious to get your reaction to the signals that Chairman Powell sent after the expected quarter point rate cut.
Well, they, as usual, Powell's signals are a little bit mixed. I mean, I think that the press conference, they actually talk too much, and they say something that seems to please just about everybody. But the bottom line is the Fed's still likely to cut rates, if not at the October meeting, and probably at the December meeting. Even though the dots are somewhat ambiguous, what that really reflects is that most of the risks to the U.S. economy are coming from outside the U.S., and they have so little control, and really there's just a lot of uncertainty as to what, how that's going to play out. Are we going to make enough progress on a trade deal that we begin to build that into the outlook?
And to your point, we just got that report from the OECD slashing its outlook for global growth from 3.2 to 2.9%. Is this something that the Federal Reserve needs to do more to address?
Well, I think they need to take the funds rate down probably another 50 basis points. And that's what we've got in our forecast. They addressed it in the policy statement where they talked about the greatest areas of weakness were exports and business fixed investment. With this more uncertain environment, businesses are less likely to invest in new equipment. They're less likely to hire too, and so we may see some further slowing in the jobs numbers. But I think things came out pretty close to what was expected. I think a lot of folks were surprised to see the dissent. I wasn't surprised to see the dissent. So part of the role of being a Federal Reserve Bank president is to be a little bit more hawkish than the Federal Reserve board members. And so we heard that from Esther George and Eric Rosengren, and it was somewhat offset by Bullard's wishes that the Fed would have gone 50 yesterday instead of just a quarter point cut.
What do you think it is that's holding the Federal Reserve back at this point?
I don't think anything's really holding them back. They don't want to use up all of their ammunition at any one point. And what I think a lot of folks forget is that forward guidance and the Fed's words are also a policy tool. And so some folks are disappointed that they didn't have a clear bias toward further rate cuts. And I think in part that's because what's slowing the economy is a slowdown in the global economy, which is in part is being driven off of the trade war. And there's not a whole lot of visibility there. Things could possibly turn the other way, probably not by October, but certainly by later this year. And so they want to give themselves the ability to say, hey, we've done enough. I mean, the U.S. macroeconomy may turn up, even though I'm fairly certain that most folks at the Fed, given what we're seeing and kind of the consensus forecast view and Fed funds futures, expect the Fed to cut at least one more time this year and possibly twice and continue cutting into next year.
Where do you see the trade war going at this point? Do you think that there is a chance that we could see at least a preliminary deal by the end of this year?
I personally do. In our forecast, we are not incorporating any sort of deal. But I really think that we could get an agreement in principle before the end of the year where we agree on the terms that we need to come to an agreement to, and possibly have a final deal done by Easter. And I think if we could get that agreement in principle, we would remove a lot of the uncertainty that's currently present in the economy. And we might see that output would pick up a notch, and that the next time the OECD comes and renews their forecast, they'll take things up a notch. But it's hard to read. I mean, Trump's negotiating policy, the stance that he takes he plays the cards pretty close to his vest. I mean, even though he tweets like crazy, that the folks that are involved in these trade negotiations really haven't let a whole lot of news out.
Yeah, we'll leave it there for now. Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo, thanks again for being here this morning after the Federal Reserve rate decision. The S&P futures right now are down 5.5 points following that decision. Dow futures down 49. NASDAQ futures are lower by almost 23 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. Taxes are one of the certainties of life, but what worked for corporate taxpayers in the past may not work today. Eisner Amper can help. Visit EisnerAmper.com/tax certainty.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower this morning following the Fed's latest rate cut. And after Chairman Jerome Powell said moderate policy moves should be sufficient to sustain the U.S. expansion.
If the economy does turn down, then a more extensive sequence of rate cuts could be appropriate. We don't see that. It's not what we expect. But we would certainly follow that path if it became appropriate.
Forecasts from the Fed show officials split over the path of policy this year. 5 didn't want to move. 5 see another quarter point cut on the way. 7 see 50 basis points of easing needed by year end. It's a more hawkish forecast than expected by Guggenheim Chief Investment Officer Scott Minard.
The market's priced for another rate cut. The fact that the Fed is sort of signaling it doesn't intend to deliver, it's really kind of surprising that we're just sitting here.
The Fed's next decision comes October 30th.
The Bank of Japan has stopped short of following the Fed, choosing to leave policy unchanged. We get more from Bloomberg's Paul Jackson in Tokyo.
The BOJ said it needed to pay closer attention to the possibility it might be losing momentum toward its 2% inflation target as economies overseas continue to decelerate. While about three-quarters of economists surveyed by Bloomberg had predicted the BOJ would leave policy on hold today, almost half of them expected the central bank to ease policy either this month or in October. The call for a review in October is likely to heighten expectations that the BOJ will take additional action then. In Tokyo, Paul Jackson, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Paul. The Swiss National Bank held its policy and deposit rate at minus 0.75%. The SNB also reiterated its currency intervention pledge, saying the franc is highly valued.
The Bank of England is forecast to keep interest rates unchanged today, while Norway's central bank broke away from the pact, delivering its fourth interest rate hike in a year.
On the corporate front, Microsoft shares are up about 1%. The company announced a new $40 billion buyback program and boosted its quarterly dividend by 5 cents.
Shares of U.S. Steel down 10%. The company is the third American steelmaker in 3 days to warn on its profit outlook. Futures this morning are lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 6 points. Dow futures down 55. NASDAQ futures down 25. The 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.77%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Canadian leader Justin Trudeau's campaign is working to contain a growing scandal following the publication of a yearbook photo showing him in brown face makeup at a 2001 costume party. The Prime Minister apologized and begged Canadians to forgive him.
It was something that I didn't think was racist at the time, but now I recognize it was something racist to do.
The photo was taken from the yearbook from the West Point Grey Academy in Vancouver, where Trudeau worked as a teacher. The rhetoric is heating up in the wake of the weekend strike on Saudi oil facilities. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in the region calls it an act of war. Iran denies involvement. Meanwhile, Yemen's rebels maintain they did it. It comes as President Trump announced new stiff sanctions on Iran, but stopped short of a military response.
There are many options, and there's the ultimate option, and there are options a lot less than that. And we'll see. We're in a very powerful position.
President Trump concluded a three-day Western trip by visiting a section of border wall near San Diego that's being replaced. His visit comes as the president revs up his battle with California. The president rejected a request from the state's governor for more federal funds to expand homeless programs and blames the state for the problem. Trump also moved to end California's authority to regulate auto emissions. Congressional lawmakers reached a deal on a stopgap spending bill to avert a U.S. government shutdown on October 1st, even as the threat of a closure later in the year continues to build. Legislation that threatens Hong Kong's special trading status is moving through the U.S. legislature. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says it is bipartisan, and support has been fueled as she invited in several pro-democracy Hong Kong protesters. One was Denise Ho.
It is not only the young people, but really everyone who believes in these universal values and who want to protect our city from the erosion of our democracy.
She says the U.S. should worry about the move against democracies around the world. Pelosi says it will pass.
The bill is bipartisan, just as the Congress's commitment to the people of Hong Kong is.
Along with threatening Hong Kong's special trading status, it calls for annual assessment of whether the city is sufficiently autonomous from Beijing to receive special treatment. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. It's just before 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Yankees are going for their 100th win and their first division title since 2012. They trailed the Angels 2-0, tied it on an Aaron Judge home run. But a throwing error by Adam Ottavino in the sixth inning. Yanks had only six hits, lost 3-2. They got Giancarlo Stanton back. He played left field, went 1-for-3, only the 10th game that Stanton has played in this season, but he's getting ready for the postseason.
You just got to lock it in and go with what you know. And, you know, if it's going to take a little bit of time, it will. But it'll be back and forth for a little while, and I got a week and a half to figure it out.
Still could have clinched the division had Tampa Bay lost to the Dodgers, but the Rays, who are fighting for a wild card, won 8-7 in 11 innings. They tied the game in the ninth. The Yanks stayed to watch. They would have popped open champagne had the Rays lost. Tampa Bay's off tonight, so only one way to clinch, and that's a Yankee victory. And Denver Mets got another Pete Alonso home run, his 49th. They went to the ninth inning, down 4-3, scored four times, beat the Rockies 7-4. Seth Lugo, two scoreless innings for the win. He also had an RBI single at the plate. For what it's worth, Mets gained on the Cubs and Brewers. They both lost. They stayed tied for that last wild card. The Mets are three games behind. Daniel Jones got the call Tuesday at age 22, just three games into his rookie NFL season. Jones was told he's now the starting quarterback for the Giants.
You never really know when something like this is going to happen, and my job is, you know, is to be ready and to continue to improve. And, you know, I feel like I've been able to do that. Like I said, you don't know when something like this can happen. I can't control that. So just trying to be prepared, and we'll continue to prepare, obviously, the same way as we.
Eli Manning now is his backup Sunday at Tampa Bay with a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on how cancer-causing elements have ended up in Americans' blood pressure pills. Also in this week's issue, how impending recession in corners of the U.S. is already hurting President Trump's bid for 2020. Sean Donnan wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
It looks like we are in the beginnings of a very similar manufacturing recession to what we saw in 2015 and 2016, and that has political consequences and could have it again.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Nathan, Fairway Market is for sale again 3 years after the New York City grocery emerged from bankruptcy with new owners. Sources tell Bloomberg the company's sponsors, including Brigade Capital and Goldman Sachs, have begun the process of seeking bidders and have received interest from some potential buyers. Alexion Pharmaceuticals is spending about $10 billion to expand in New Haven. The rare disease drug maker will boost its global product development lab to support the growth of the company's pipeline. This comes 2 years after Alexion, which launched in Connecticut, moved its headquarters to Boston. And New Jersey Urology and Urology Management Associates are partnering with Premier Urology Group. City Business says the move will form one of the biggest urology groups in the country. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Pampered Chef CEO Tracy Britt Kuhl is leaving Berkshire Hathaway to start her own firm.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on the regional business outlook from the Philly Fed Bank.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the EU's deadline for a Brexit plan. 11 days, or that's it, says the Finnish Prime Minister.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on Tiffany's plan to open more stores in China.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors could burn through $1 billion in cash if the UAW strike lasts a week.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Morning pointing to modest losses for U.S. equities. S&P futures are down 6 points right now. Dow futures lower by 59 points. NASDAQ futures off by 26 points. The 10-year up 1/32nd, yield 1.79%. 2-year treasury yield 1.76%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping and afternoon tea, daily nonstop flights to the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The European Central Bank giving the region's lenders $3.8 billion in free long-term loans as it revived a policy intended to boost economic growth and inflation. The 3-year loans at a rate that starts at zero and could fall as low as the deposit rate, currently minus 0.5%, are part of a package of stimulus measures that includes taking negative interest rates further below zero and restarting bond purchases. Futures this morning are lower, while stocks in Europe are higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 7 points, Dow futures down 63, NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32nds, yield 1.78%, yield on the 2-year 1.75%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4% or 80 cents at $58.91 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% on $11.10 at $15.04.70 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1067 against the dollar. The yen 107.99. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the whistleblower complaint that triggered a showdown between the U.S. intelligence community and Congress involves President Trump's communications with a foreign leader. That's according to the Washington Post. The acting director of National Intelligence has agreed to testify before the House Intelligence Committee. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has apologized after admitting that in 2001 he was photographed in brown face makeup wearing a turban at a costume party. Saudi Arabia's ambassador to Germany says his country has not ruled out any options in response to the recent attacks on its oil infrastructure. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Angels. The Pinstripes' magic number to make the playoffs remains at 1. The Mets won and keep their playoff hopes alive. The A's won to stay 2 games ahead of the Rays for an AL wildcard spot. The Giants beat the Red Sox. The Nationals and Orioles lost. Week 3 of the NFL begins tonight. Titans at the Jaguars. Global news 24 hours a day. On air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It is 5:49 on Wall Street, and it is time to check in with our Bloomberg Opinion. Editor Marcus Ashworth joins us from our London bureau as we continue to monitor all the flurry of central bank moves this week, including this latest one Karen just alluded to, the European Central Bank offering $3.8 billion in interest-free loans to European banks. How significant is this?
Well, it's quite shocking. I must confess, when I saw the number, I thought there was the decimal point was the wrong place. Hmm. I thought, you know, maybe 340 billion or maybe 34 billion, but 3.4 is literally nothing. Hmm. And that shows you one of two things. Either this shows you that European banks are in such a great place, they don't need any free money, and they really are got the act and house in order. Or, answer B, that they don't want to lend to the outside economy. They are worried about the economy to such a level that they don't actually require to get a bunch of new loans, which they have to lend against, to commit themselves to a bunch of activity they'd really rather not do. And they'd rather wait and listen. Now, there are six more of these. A total of seven coming. So this one has probably come too early. And I think the markets are still shape-shifting with this tiering act, which has actually put a lot more money back into their coffers than they at zero rates than before they were at negative. So perhaps they feel they can watch and wait here. So I wouldn't read too much into it, but I think it's more answer B to what I said earlier. It isn't particularly good. There isn't demand for people. People don't want to borrow. People don't want to lend. That's because the economy is so weak in Europe.
And because I would imagine we're still in this negative interest rate environment.
Well, yes, because of this tiering, which happened at the last ECB meeting, a lot more money has come back up to closer to zero than was previously parked at zero, negative 0.4. So that's why I think the banks are feeling a little bit more flush with their cash flow at the moment. It's going to cost them less money in the future, so they don't need to borrow out for 3 years, even at what's supposedly free rates. It commits them to stuff that they possibly don't want to do.
Is there any reason to think that this might be a reaction to what we saw yesterday from the Federal Reserve, perhaps not taking quite as dovish a stance as maybe the market was expecting?
No, the bids for this went in at 8:30 European time yesterday morning, so before the Fed's actions. But equally, we've seen the stramash in the repo rate, and the Fed handling of the New York Fed, I think, was what's drop the ball here, and I don't think it's any direct crossover.
All right. Well, what do you make of Chairman Powell's messaging yesterday, sort of taking this wait-and-see approach as to whether they would take a more aggressive stance on policy going forward?
I'm tempted to feel sorry for him, but I don't think he's handling this desperately well. And in the context that we have an economy which looks to be slowing slightly. There doesn't seem to be any real justification for the particular reason to cut rates yesterday. Why? What specifically has changed which makes it so important to cut? I don't see that coming through. The dot plots, I think, are red herring. I think they're misleading. I think he alluded to that. So it looked like it was a hawkish cut, but if you actually listen to Powell, he was more on the dovish side. But he doesn't seem to be in control of this, and equally, as mentioned specifically on the balance sheet and what's happened with the loss of control over money markets, there is a tightening effect in liquidity going through the US at the moment. It's got nothing to do with credit conditions. This isn't a scare like 2008. I think we realize that, but it's just a systemic need for more dollars, for more liquidity, and I don't think he answered or responded to that as fully as we might have wanted to, but he did at least allude to it. So, you know, there are a few things going on there. I think they are more technical in nature than scary, but we shall see.
We shall see indeed. Bloomberg Opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth with us from London. Thank you as always. And you can read more from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or on the terminal type OPIN. Go. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Proposed worker safety agency budgets for fiscal year 2020 from the Republican-controlled Senate Appropriations Committee fall short of the proposals from the Democrat majority House. The IRS would get a $200 million boost in funding for the next fiscal year under the bill advanced by a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee. And the Trump administration has revoked California's authority to set its own vehicle greenhouse gas emission standards and banned other states from establishing similar rules.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal item we're watching. President Trump moving to revoke California's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from autos. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Columbia law professor Michael Girard.
Professor, California has been setting a stricter standard for emissions for many years. Will you explain the waiver they're operating under and what's at stake here?
So the Clean Air Act of 1970 says that the federal government sets the vehicle emission standards and greenhouse gas standards nationwide, but Congress let California set its own tougher standard if EPA gave them a waiver to do that. So EPA has always given a waiver to California until now. Now they're taking it away for the first time.
So the AG, Javier Becerra, has said that they will sue. Nothing new for his office, suing over Obama-era environmental regulations. But can you envision what the grounds for their lawsuit would be?
Well, the Trump administration so far has compiled a pretty poor record in the way it goes about trying to revoke regulations, and many of the attempts that they have made have failed. There is no precedent for revoking a waiver. The reasons that they seem to be given are that they have recalculated the costs and benefits of greenhouse gases, and there are a whole lot of technical questions about the way that they have done that. It's also clear that one impact of this revocation, if it survives in court, is much higher, not only greenhouse gas emissions, but also much higher fuel expenditures for drivers, because it's going to mean that the cars they're going to be driving will be consuming a lot more gasoline per gallon, per mile.
Well, at the press conference, that was one thing that they seemed to be hitting on, that this was a better choice for consumers, and also that the car industry was on board with it.
Well, it's a better choice for consumers only if you think about the immediate front of cost of buying the car. But if you include the cost of running the car and the gasoline, it costs much more to have a less fuel-efficient car.
And that's Columbia Law School professor Michael Girard speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law. Weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures are down about 7.5 points. Dow futures down 69. NASDAQ futures down 31. The DAX in Germany higher, up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.4%. And the FTSE 100 up about the same. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.79%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.76%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.7%, up 96 cents at $59.07 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.8%, or $11.60 at $15.04.20 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg Radio.